Join me on a visit to Gratitude Flowers outside Tacoma, Washington, a boutique home-based floral business where Kate Skelton specializes in growing and supplying Lysianthus starts to flower farmers and offering a wide array of cutting garden plants to her community.
And it was like, I need an outlet to relax for myself. And, you know, I was realizing my solitude was getting into the garden for a few minutes. I realized there were a lot of people that, you know, were seeing all the stuff on Instagram wanting to grow those things, but that a lot of those flowers are not available in the nurseries. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the bedding packs at Home Depot. They're not tall cutting garden flowers. Because I do like to garden and I have my hands in the planting, I do consider myself on the farmer side.
Yeah.
Out of the terminology that's out there, I'm definitely more on the flower farming and, you know, nursery side.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing. This is episode 652. This is the weekly podcast about slow flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This show is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free online directory to more than 750 florist shops and studios who design with local, seasonal, and sustainable flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. And thank you to Mayesh Wholesale Florist. Family-owned since 1978, Mayesh is the premier wedding and event supplier in the U.S., and we're thrilled to partner with Mayesh to promote local and domestic flowers, which they source from farms large and small around the U.S. Learn more at mayesh.com. At the end of last month, I took a Friday afternoon outing to Edgewood, a community located about halfway between Seattle and Tacoma near me, to visit today's guest, Kate Skelton, owner of Gratitude Flowers. It's a boutique home-based floral business that reflects Kate's passion for growing flowers from seed. The day was chilly, but beautiful, and the drive there gave me a front row view of Mount Rainier in all its snow-capped glory. I was in a great mood, and Kate and her story lifted my spirits even higher. I first met Kate last fall when Jody Logue of Moss and Matter Farm hosted a flower farmer's pie and coffee. You might remember that, and it was episode 633 from October 25th. A lovely group of local growers, including several Slow Flowers members, came together on a Sunday afternoon to chat and network over delicious homemade pie and warm beverages at Jody's home in Olalla, Washington, on the Kitsap Peninsula. My conversation there with Kate was fascinating as I learned that she's a community college math professor who launched her flower nursery and seedling venture during the pandemic. I also learned about her seedling offerings, especially Lysianthus, which she grows for other flower farmers. Being a greenhouse owner myself and aspiring seed-starting gardener, I was intrigued. And after Gratitude Flowers joined Slow Flowers as a member, I knew that I wanted to feature Kate on the Slow Flowers show. Gratitude Flowers offers timeless, farm-grown, organic specialty plants for cutting gardens and seasonal floral blooms for floral enthusiasts. You can learn more by following the links to Gratitude Flowers, which I'll have in our show notes, including Kate's social places, and they're all going to be at episode 652 on slowflowerspodcast.com. If you're listening, come to slowflowerspodcast.com to enjoy my video tour inside Kate's custom greenhouse and learn a bit more as she walks us through some of her favorite ways to start and nurture flowers from seed. I know you'll enjoy this conversation, so let's jump right in and get started. Hi, Kate Skelton. It's so nice to be here at your garden.
Oh, I'm so delighted to have you here.
Well, I'm delighted to learn more about Gratitude Flowers. We're outdoors. We can hear some of the ambient airplane noise, but that's just what it is like here. We're going to do a little tour of your seed starting. Talk about what we have here.
Yeah, so I'm acclimating lots of plants, some for, you know, my own garden and summer sales, and as well as fellow flower farmers that have purchased some things from me.
Oh,
Yeah. Let's see what's here. So we've got some Lysianthus that were started in 72 plug trays. I was sharing with you that I also try to do a lot in soil blocks.
We'll see those inside your greenhouse.
We've got some right here, actually. Trying to work on some Iceland poppies here that are in 2-inch soil blocks.
Oh, look how healthy they look. Wow.
Yeah, they're starting to perk up. They're a difficult crop, so I'm trying to perfect them. I've got the Lysianthus pretty good now. And then, you know, various other things I've been planting in the yard, but all sorts of stuff. I've got stock, blue plurums, scabiosa, sweet peas. What else we got down there? Looks like snapdragons.
These are sort of like cold annuals that are fine being outside.
Yeah, it's the cool season annuals. And so I start acclimating them. Typically, I'll get the Lysianthus out, try to shoot for mid-February, but we've had a few cold springs. This year, we're on target, so they're doing well.
Once you bring these out, though, they don't go back into the greenhouse, do they?
No, they do not.
Unless there's like a disaster problem.
Yeah, and I actually have a cart with wheels, so I just put them on there and wheel them in the garage, which is really convenient.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see what else you've got over here.
Yeah, so I sell, plants and things in the spring, and I have some tulip pots and a couple of my own things in here, but I grew some delphinium last year that a couple I didn't sell that I still have that are nice size.
And so this will all become like your nursery when you have a plant sale?
Yeah. So we'll have the whole driveway set up and... Yeah, all sorts of fun stuff. So I focus a lot on cutting garden annuals because you can't get them anywhere else.
I agree.
And I think, you know, just as home gardeners, we all deserve to have all those beautiful flowers.
Well, you kind of started like that, right?
I did, yeah.
A gardener who got out of control?
Very true. Yeah, I come from a family of gardeners. And it actually started with, I used to live in L.A. and I could get Lysianthus at the nurseries in L.A. And I never saw them up here. You know, 20 years in, I was like, I've never seen them. And then went over to Idaho to visit a friend and I discovered that over there that they had some Lysianthus. And they were giving them away in July because at that stage, it's too much watering. It's late in the season.
Were they plants?
They were plants in 4-inch pots. And I was like, well, if they can grow them here, I can grow them. So I bought some seeds and here we are today. I've started a business and that was the idea of getting Lysianthus out in the community because I found there were people up here that knew about them, but they didn't know where to find them.
Or people see them in floral arrangements. But they're not, you're right, the nurseries aren't carrying them.
Yeah.
Is the variety you saw in L.A. at nurseries a different plant than what the cut flower farmers grow?
So I don't recall directly, but there are taller varieties and there are shorter varieties, but it also has to do with when you plant them. Mm-hmm. And our weather up here definitely is more conducive for very long stems.
Well, let's go into your greenhouse.
Yeah.
I'll follow you in.
All right.
Great greenhouse. Did you guys build it?
We did. Yeah. We got polycarbonate up in Snohomish. That was a fun adventure driving it home on the top of the truck. And
taller than 8 feet.
Yeah, the panels on the roof are 12 feet long. So,
cool.
Yeah, I do recommend if you build one, ship the polycarbonate.
When did you build this thing, Kate?
The year before we opened the business.
Okay, which was?
Opened in, 2022. So we're going into our third season.
Wow.
But it is my second greenhouse.
Oh, I love it. It's so charming. And it reminds me a lot of the shed roof of my greenhouse, which I'll have to send you photos of, or you'll have to come over.
Yeah.
But mine is oriented with the door on the high wall. So this just seems larger. It feels like you've got more... I guess more wall space for shelving.
Yeah, it's definitely the way you design, and the other thing is the way you do the shelving.
Yeah, so let's talk about what we have in here. These are adjustable. And
they're just Rubbermaid closet-made shelving that you get at Home Depot.
Okay.
And I used them in my old greenhouse, so I repurposed stuff for this greenhouse.
So this is your third season in this greenhouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, shelves, they don't all have lighting. I guess the top rack doesn't have lighting. Is that just because it's getting the direct light through the roof?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So give us a tour of how, where do you start and how do you progress through the process?
So my seed starting station is right here. Depending on how much I am starting, I might not have any table space. So I'm really clever with my bins, of pulling bins out that are storage as well as spots to put things.
And we'll talk about this in a minute because I wanted to comment. I see you have a heat mat.
Yeah. So. I've got a couple. Actually, I've got a couple on the floor.
You have some long ones.
Yes. The big ones are well worth it.
Yeah.
So.
And you've got a sink, and so you've been able to bring water in here.
Yeah. Amazing. We don't have it hooked up in the winter because it attaches to the hose, but my husband did a whole PVC system with a splitter, and, you know, it drains out under the greenhouse.
You design and he constructs.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
So yeah, it works out really well.
You start seeds over here.
Yeah, so I start seeds over here, and I've got another bin here, and I usually will set up my soil and mix right here with my tools that I've got hanging. But I should share, these were my aunts that were given to my moms, and it's really nice to continue their
gosh,
use in the family.
Oh, my gosh, they're so adorable. They all have little animal personalities.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
That's literally what you're using, tiny tools.
Yeah, yeah. So I just mix in buckets and do my seeds, and usually I'll start them all right here on the heat mat, and then as soon as they sprout, they move off into the lights, and you know, we go from there. As they grow, they get either potted up, or preferably if I'm doing soil blocks, I will bump them up to bigger soil blocks, or if it's for me, it might be ready to go in the garden. So it just depends on what I'm growing.
Yeah, and I'm seeing two different sizes of soil blocks plus some cell packs.
Yeah.
So this is the smallest?
Yeah, this is the mini, which is a 3/4-inch block. So I start a lot of stuff in those in the winter. I was sharing with you earlier, it gets really warm in here as soon as the sun's out a lot. So I can only grow in the small soil blocks in the middle of winter.
And so what are you, is it also the cool season annuals that like this?
Right, yeah.
So what do you have here?
Let's see. So this is some blue plurum.
Oh, wow.
We've got some snapdragons. This is some cress and some phlox. And the green is from lots of seaweed extract, which I used to worry about it, and I'm actually finding that using seaweed, it helps the blocks start to hold moisture as you water more. So that's been helpful for me.
Well, let me ask you about your medium. Do you have pretty much the same recipe for all, regardless of the size?
I'm playing around with recipes. Okay. I have another friend that grows over on the peninsula that also does soil blocks. And we've really been experimenting because it's the question of what products can you get.
Yeah.
Lisa Mason Ziegler from Gardener's Workshop really suggests green sand and rock phosphate. It's been almost impossible to find green sand locally. I know she still carries some, but
maybe
on a larger scale.
Maybe that's more of an East Coast thing.
Maybe, yeah. I've heard it also might have something to do with the distributor that was producing it. So I've tried a few things. I've tried azomite. I think that's a little too sandy for the small blocks because they actually fall apart when I start to pull them apart.
Interesting. So you're not just buying bags of seed starting.
Right. Yeah, you do a mix.
Okay.
So I'm doing ProMix with compost, and I use the, I'm liking the Fox Farm right now with the, I think it's got, I can't think of the name of it. I can see
That's
the
right.
bag.
Maybe I'll get some of these sources from you and put them in our
notes. Yeah. Okay, and I do have a box of green sand, so I mixed in green sand and rock phosphate.
Just to create more sharp drainage, is that it?
Sharp drainage and its nutrients.
Got it.
Yeah. And I will mention the rock phosphate needs to be the powdered one. I make the mistake sometimes. My husband's like, hey, I found rock phosphate. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not the right one. I've learned.
You can't crush it yourself and make
that. Not as easy, yeah. And then you do sift it with a, I have a little thing over there, you know, great that I sift.
Okay.
I find I don't need to do that with the larger blocks as much. I have to do it with a smaller box.
These are the more of the 2-inch size?
Yeah, these are the 2-inch size, and they have a little insert that you can put in. I can actually show you. So this is the 2-inch blocker, and you can switch out these inserts to a dibble or this. This is the exact size of these mini blocks.
So is that when you pop the block out, it's got a recess area here?
Exactly.
And then does that mean you can transfer the little guy into this?
Yeah, you just pull the little blocks apart, and you pop them in there. You do want to transplant them or bump them up into the larger block when they are smaller and their roots are not as entangled.
Because then you can...
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I was sharing that the blocks were falling apart. So I was finding as I was transplanting them, all that soil from the mini block would fall off. So now I'm trying the green sand again. And yeah. So you just kind of got to play around and see what works for you. And it obviously depends on, you know, what your goal is, if you're bumping up or not. Yeah.
Your goal is to start at this size in the spring before it gets too warm, bump up to this size, and then what does it go to after that? Outside?
Hopefully that will get sold at that size.
Okay.
And then also with some of my local flower farmers that I grow for, they do get the mini blocks.
They're fine with that.
Yeah. So just depends on who I'm growing for.
Well, I wanted to hear about this.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that I saw you post about this, and it's a bottomless tray in a way, right?
Yeah. So this is called a windstrip tray. This is a 72, so it's got 72 cells. And it's really hardcore plastic.
It is. It's durable.
Yeah. So it should last a lifetime. And you fill it with soil and use it just like you would a standard tray. But because it's got big holes on the bottom, it pretty much behaves like the air pruning that you get with the soil blocks.
Okay. But larger and deeper.
Larger and deeper. You can get them in 72, 128, I think maybe 218s if I recall.
What is this one?
This is a 72.
So you like to work in this skin?
I do. Yeah, I find that, you know, just with our springs, having a little bit bigger of a transplant for your garden helps.
Yeah.
And that's, I'll mention, especially true with Lysianthus in my experience.
Okay. And really, Lysianthus is your main crop that you sell to flower farmers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the spring.
So you fill this up with the same medium that you're, or some kind of variation of that.
This one, I just use ProMix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you tap it down a couple times so the dirt settles, and then you're ready to go, and you pot put in your little seeds. And
you said you had one over here. Can you show us what it looks
like?
Yeah. So
these are snapdragons.
Oh my gosh, big and healthy they look.
These are probably, let's see, we're towards the end of February. These maybe a month old.
Okay.
So they're pretty young. So I'm seeing comparable growth with both the windstrip trays and
the
soil blocks. Things grow faster because of the air pruning.
And air pruning just means that there's no, the roots don't stop.
Exactly.
And do you prune them, or they just have a little more life? They can move out and get water.
Yeah, they just start to move out. And this is just getting to the stage where I'll put it outside.
Okay.
But if the roots get really long and they still need to be in here a little bit longer, I actually take them out of the tray because I have the wire racks so they get the full pruning effect.
Sure.
Because, when they get to the bottom and you're in the tray, they lose that air pruning.
They're gonna stop.
Yeah.
For watering, I guess you just position your something like this on a rack where it's okay if water drips.
I've got a watering station and pressure-treated wood on the floor.
So you were saying that there's a couple things you can do. One is you can just put your finger underneath and pop the entire plug out.
Yeah.
And I guess pop it, do you plant it up to this size then, the 4-inch
pots? You could. I currently, this was my first year using these, so they are getting popped out of this and sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciated what you said too, especially if you're working with the flower farmer. you'd have them give you a deposit and then return that, because your goal is to reduce plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely the plan in the future. And there is no question I want to incorporate more of these in to my growing. I like soil blocks. I just can't use them all year because it gets too warm in here. And if I get the same effects with that and, you know, being working full time outside of this fun stuff gives me the opportunity to grow really healthy plants.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so the black plastic doesn't heat up, or it's just that it holds the moisture in more than a soil block, which naturally,
yeah,
it's like a little sugar cube. It can just completely
dry out. The 2-inch hold water better. They're okay. It's specifically the minis.
I have one of these soil block makers at this size. I've never used it, and it might even be too late to use it now, right?
You could use it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got stuff I'm starting. You could.
I'm inspired to try then.
Yeah.
Well, let's set up the camera on the stand, and you and I can just stand here, and I can hear more about gratitude flowers.
Yeah. Okay, sounds great.
So you're teaching at a community college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Full time.
Yeah, and that's what brought me up to Washington. I'm originally from Minnesota, and my family moved to California when I was 10, and I learned about gardening through the years through my mom and my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather used to actually trial Jackson Perkins roses in Minneapolis.
Oh wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So you came up here about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Have you been in this property most of the time?
No, we moved here about 10 years ago. Okay. I was originally in Kent.
Okay.
And we outgrew our property because we had a small lot. And
you wanted more land.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's still residential here where you are, right?
It is. Yeah. It's actually quite rural as soon as you get off the main strip.
Yes. It's a little bit outside of between Seattle and Tacoma, but a little bit off the freeway and bigger lots. Gorgeous view of Mount Rainier on my way here.
Yes.
So
I know. What a treat.
Yeah.
You got to see it.
So you said that you had so many flowers you started needing to give them away or sell them. Is that sort of how gratitude flowers started?
It started with the Lysianthus. I want to grow Lysianthus and share with others.
So
and
it was then, specifically Lysianthus, not anything else at the time.
Right. Okay. And it was during the pandemic. I was working 100 hours a week at the computer.
Because you were just doing online education.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. And trying to build. And, you know, pretty much I went into that going, my students deserve the same education. How do I do this online? And, it's a lot of work to learn that. And, I mean, I'm sure you're aware. All educators felt like that. But I, never step back. I, like I said, I gave 100 hours and did a lot.
It's kind of soul sucking, being at the computer all day.
Well, exactly. And it was like, I need an outlet to relax for myself and seeing what my students were going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would come in for question hours in Zoom and, they would just be in tears going, I'm trying to go through school. I'm trying to support my family, and realizing that everybody needs outlets.
Yeah.
And
including the teachers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was realizing my solitude was getting into the garden for a few minutes. And, some students started going, I'm starting to garden. And, I was like, oh, I garden. And then you start to share and you build that community. And I realized there were a lot of people that, were seeing all the stuff on Instagram wanting to grow those things. But that a lot of those flowers are not available in the nurseries. Mm-hmm. You get the bedding packs at Home Depot. They're not tall cutting garden flowers.
I think we talked about that when we first met, that there's this sort of disconnect between the cut flowers that people see maybe on social media and they really want to have a cutting garden. But the nurseries are selling almost everything's in the dwarf form, right? Like, why is that?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Zinnias, Rudbeckia, all these sort of summer cut flowers, they're shorties.
Yeah.
And you tapped into something there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never started out to be a farmer, per se. You're kind of in an interesting niche.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Because I do like to garden and I have my hands in the planting, I do consider myself on the farmer side.
Yeah, your quantities.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say I'm out of the terminology that's out there. I'm definitely more on the flower farming and, you know, nursery side.
But the nursery side is unique because you're able to, you're growing plants to resell in most cases.
Yeah.
Or do you sell cut flowers too?
I do sell cut flowers in the summer in the community. I have a little stand that I wheel out. And, yeah.
That's amazing. Are you teaching in the summer?
I usually do.
Okay.
Well, we'll see this summer.
And by the way, you didn't tell me. I think I know, but what is your subject matter?
I teach mathematics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I'm in the STEM disciplines, and I'm actually in a building with our biology and nursing and health. So
do you want to go hang out with those biology people and talk about plants?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I could actually see through the windows in a classroom, and typically in spring, we have a colleague that offers a class, that they actually grow plants in there. And I'm looking through the window going, oh, and see, you know, so he'll bring in cut flowers. And I'm like, oh, I know that probably was shifted internationally and chemicals. So I'm thinking about the experiments.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, they're just buying cut flowers
lab.
Under a microscope or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you have a thing to teach them. So now I checked out your website, and we'll share it in the show notes. You've got a lot of a list of the plants you normally sell, the cutting garden flowers.
Do
people order those from you, or do they have to come here for your sales?
No, they just have to come for the sales. I try to keep it easy, but I am finding about this time of year that we are all craving spring, and so I update my website with, this is what I'm planning to sell, so people have information about what will be available. And also I put growing information, like spacing information and height. So I do find people after they get plants, or maybe they got them somewhere else or just, you know, growing their own, but they're looking for that information, that I have that there for them.
I'm thinking there were at least over a dozen different types of flowers that you listed. Is that about right, or do you go higher than that?
Oh, well, every year you add and you try different things. Probably. I mean, this year I added more eucalyptus, variety of the Rudbeckia, the black-eyed Susans. I've got a few different varieties, and I haven't offered that before.
And so when will you open up the shop? And I'm sure it's on your weekends because you're busy otherwise.
Yeah, I'm only open on the weekends. And with our spring, I'm looking probably in the next month.
Really?
Yeah. Usually I go for about April 1st, but depends on the weather.
And how do people find out about this? Do they sign up for your mailing list? Or?
I do have a newsletter that people sign up for, so they get notified first. And then I notify on my website with a banner.
Okay.
And then I post on social media in local groups, as well as, you know, my own pages.
So who are your customers? Are they just people who find you, or how do they find you? Word of mouth?
It's a good question. How do they find me? It seems like people find me on social media. Mm-hmm. There is definitely some word of mouth in the farmer community. I'm kind of getting known as a Lysianthus person, apparently. It's like, oh, you have Lysianthus starts. I'm interested.
Well, you've got the retail to the customer.
Right.
And then the Lysianthus, do you sell that to the public, or is it only for farmers?
Yeah. No, I sell that to the public as well.
Yeah, because that was your original mission.
Right.
But selling for your fellow growers, I think you're feeling a very important pain point for people who maybe don't have the space or the time to start Lysianthus from seed, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And even other stuff, you know, I mean, a lot of flower farmers, you know, a good number of them have young children, and just the time to be able to start plants as well as get them planted. Also in fall, people want to overwinter things, the cool season annuals, and a lot of people don't have space to do it. I do have a room off my garage that stays at 60 some degree, lower 60s. So I also do fall starts for flower farmers.
Really?
Yeah.
Which more varieties than just Lysianthus?
Lysianthus I don't do in the fall.
Okay.
So in the fall last year, farmers got for me some, let's see, I can probably look in here, some snapdragons, status, which unfortunately are really cold spell we had recently. They're not hardy enough for that.
Okay. Well, now you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Rudbeckia, Yeah, there were a couple other things in there. But I was offering what I had seat available for. You know, going forward, I want to find out more. What are you interested in?
I see.
Yeah.
Well, you're plugging into the local groups that are kind of in our greater area who have their own Facebook groups, and they probably share information. And now that the word is out that you like, you really love to start flowers with seed.
That's I love starting from seed, and I love helping others.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my nature
teacher.
Yeah, exactly. It's the teacher. And so, yeah, and it's fun building community and getting to know people.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to come to your sale. I mean, when I first met you, I thought, no, I'm not sure how I feel about Lysianthus. I only have 4 raised beds. I don't know how much space they take up. What, how do you, what spacing do you recommend for Lysianthus?
Actually, it's, they can be pretty close. They can be 3 inches seems to be really popular now.
Wow.
I even hear people doing just 2 inches.
Oh, I can get a couple rows in. That's
great.
Yeah. But I want to see what else you have too. So
yeah.
I think this is just fascinating to me, Kate, because I feel like it's a way that flower farmers could diversify. If they're already starting seeds, how hard is it to just add another tray to sell as kind of your small local nursery? Do you think that just people haven't thought about it, or it's just how do you price, or is it just more work? I don't know. I'd love to know your thoughts on, you know, how people could get started doing this.
I think it's starting, if you're already doing seeds, starting extra, and then really finding the community in your area that would be interested in what you're growing.
Yeah.
You know, right now, as you're aware, there's big pulp suppliers. There's mainly that's East Coast. There is one in California.
But what are the minimums for the plugs?
Exactly.
Right.
They're minimum 3, 4, sometimes 5 trays. And the shipping, you know, the shipping is $70, $80. So you tack that on. And, you know, it's hard for me to compete on price because I don't have automatic seeders and whatnot.
Right.
But I can get comparable, you know, and it's the piece of, hey, I'm supporting you. You know, we get to talk with each other and I get to learn how it's working for you so I can improve. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, you're hyper-local in, too.
Exactly.
You're serving this community.
Exactly. And you're not getting these plugs that have been bumped and bruised. You know, the quality is going to be different.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm seeing that in groups with that are trying to buy plugs. There's a couple.
Oh, like coming together to share resources?
There's people that are starting to sell plugs in Facebook groups in smaller quantity that are getting from these, you know, these big suppliers.
Oh, so kind of like buying and then breaking up a big order.
And then shipping it out. And the consumer is getting these products going, most of this is dead.
Yeah.
Or,
interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that it's when the whole plug business took off, that solved the pain point for flower farmers.
Right.
But now, as things evolve, you're seeing an opportunity for smaller quantities and less shipping. Well, you don't ship at all.
And I will never ship because you diminish the quality.
Interesting.
And I think that's really important for the flower industry. You know, as we talk about, you know, locally grown flowers, we know things don't ship as well. It's the same thing with plants. The only difference is it's not cut off and sitting in water or dry for that matter.
Wow.
You know, so, and with the, you know, the post office and the shipping, you know, can you get it there overnight? And, you know, that's unlikely these days in a lot of cases, or the cost is astronomical.
The cost is crazy. Wow. So people who buy from you, they're trained to kind of come on the weekends, or if maybe prearranged to pick something up, then you leave it for them.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What else do you want to mention before we wrap up?
I don't
What are you going to do this weekend? I'm sure you have seeding plans.
Definitely more seeds. Yeah, I have a weekly schedule that I go through and, you know, add and bump up things that need to be bumped up. But we're looking at some sunny weather, hopefully tomorrow, or at least not rain. So I'll definitely be doing planting myself.
And you'll be in a zen mode and all that stress of being on computer will be gone. Although you're back teaching in person.
I do a little bit of both. I have in person and online,
which
is a nice balance. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the tour and for sharing. I think this timing is perfect to inspire people to get out and start some seeds.
Yeah.
for those of us who maybe don't have time like me, I'm going to get on your mailing list and buy from you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today. You'll want to check out our show notes for episode 652 at slowflowerspodcast.com to watch the replay video and learn more about gratitude flowers. Kate has also shared a PDF of her useful Lysianthus growing guide, which I've added to the show notes for you to download. Our next thank you goes to the Gardener's Workshop, which offers a full curriculum of online education for flower farmers and farmer florists. Online education is more important than ever, and you'll want to check out the course offerings at thegardenersworkshop.com. Next, in News of the Week, don't forget to pre-register for our March 8th Slow Flowers member virtual meetup, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, this Friday. The topic, native flowers for farmers and florists. We're so excited to welcome a panel of four members who will help us think about the possibilities of integrating native perennials and other native plants into farming and design efforts. They include Alex Kacheri of Sealy Farm, Holly Lukasevich of District 2 Floral Studio, Deborah Majeris of Iron Butterfly Farm and Lodging, and Kate Waters of Wild Heart Farm. I'm really looking forward to hearing what they have to say. You can find the pre-registration link in today's show notes. I hope to see you there. And thank you to returning 2024 podcast sponsor, Store It Cold, creators of the revolutionary CoolBot, a popular solution for flower farmers, studio florists, and farmer florists. You can save thousands when you build your own walk-in cooler with the CoolBot and an air conditioner. If you don't have time to build your own, they also have turnkey units available. Learn more at storeitcold.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. The Slow Flowers Podcast is a member-supported endeavor, downloaded more than 1 million times by listeners like you. Thank you for listening, commenting, and sharing. It means so much. As our movement gains more supporters and more passionate participants who believe in the importance of our domestic cut flower industry, the momentum is contagious. I know you feel it too. If you're new to our weekly show or our long-running podcast, check out all of our resources at slowflowerssociety.com. I'm Deborah Prinzing, host and producer of The Slow Flowers Show and The Slow Flowers Podcast. The Slow Flowers Podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Brenlin. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. Next week, you're invited to join me in putting more slow flowers on the table, one stem, one vase at a time. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I'll see you next week.